Shabbos, everyone. Let's begin. So firstly, yeshkoch to my sheep for picking up the food tonight. Yeshkoch to John Kaplan, for Jonathan Kaplan for making some of the papers. Kanish Shah for making the rest of the papers. Baruch Hashem, we have papra selection tonight, challen selection tonight. Baruch Hashem, but an incredible schus to be able to usher in Erev Shabbos together. We're going to continue Mir Hashem this evening, learning the Torah of the Chalban. So we left off on last week on page Memhei. There should be sheets around if anyone needs. Hopefully, it should be enough. So we left off on page Memhei. And it was here that the Chaban, remember again, was talking about the Yisod. Does everybody have sheets who needs? Good. Okay. Bring to our front of Jacob if anyone needs any extra. So remember again, the Chaban introduced us to this idea. And I think what's really incredible about learning this Sefer, hopefully everybody's feeling it also, is not a week goes by that you don't find something that just fundamentally challenges the way that you think. Right? We think we have such clarity. Right? From the first week, when again the Chalban turned the whole Yisod of Panemius and Chitzonius literally upside down, inside out. He literally turned Panemius and Chitzonius inside out. Every week it's been something else. So last week we began this beautiful idea, a powerful idea of what he called Tzimtzum HaTorah B'Galus. The idea that Torah in Galus is fundamentally different than the Torah in Geula. So remember again, on the end of page Mandala, we didn't get so far last week, but in the end of page Mandala, if you remember again, the Chalban said, how would you describe Torah in Geula? Geula Torah. How would you describe it? So remember again, he had one phrase, Hine Elyona Hima'od. That's how he described Torah of Geula. It's high. It's the highest of high. Elyona Hima'od. And it's almost as if the Chalban was saying that, you know, that there are things in this world, we spoke about this last week, there are things in this world that are so profound that they often just kind of defy description. They defy description. We remember he gave the mashal, like when you want to tell your kids or you want to tell, you know, your spouse how much you love them. You could say, I love you very much. But do those words really capture the totality of the way you feel about your loved ones? And of course, the answer is no. So the Chaban says, you want me to describe Torah of Geula? How could I describe the Torah of Geula? How could I describe that? Okay, El Yon Himaod. It's really incredible. So we'll see with that. We're picking up on page Memhei. Well, look what he writes over here. The first full paragraph on page Memhei. He says, Hahevdol ben Yisrael b'galus ben Yisrael b'geula. So the Chaban says that the difference between Am Yisrael in Galus versus Am Yisrael in Geula, who Yoser Gadol, look what he writes, who Yoser Gadol, Mehevdel Shabein Hakatan, Sha'ach Nolod, LeGadol Ubaba Yamin. So it's very profound. See, you would think that if somebody were to ask you, describe the difference between Klal Yisrael in Galus and Klal Yisrael in Geula, a good mashal would be, maybe Klal Yisrael in Galus is like a young child, versus Klal Yisrael in Geula is like a mature adult. So the Chaban says, the distinction between Am Yisrael and Galus and Geula is so dramatic that it's even more different than between a child and an adult. Zehevdil, listen to what he writes, Zehevdil, Shebein Misa L'Chayim. The difference between Am Yisrael and Galus and Am Yisrael and Geula is mamish as stark as the difference between life and death itself. Difference in life and death. So you both say, what is he saying? What's the Chab when he compares life and death? There's no overlap between life and death, right? There's no similarities between life and death. You know, you compare a child to an adult, there's similarities. It's the same eyes. It's the same ears. It's the same nose. A little bit bigger, a little bit weaker, a little bit this. But it's the same yisodos. When you compare life and death, there's no overlap. There's no comparison. So the Chaban says, you want to compare Am Yisrael's state of being in Golus and Geula? It's like comparing someone who's alive and someone who's dead. He goes on, he says, She'im shum hevdelim bein matzavei chayim, she'chol mishtavol se'lov. There's no overlap. There's no comparison between life and death. So just like there's no comparison, there's no overlap between life and death, there's no comparison, there's no overlap between the Jew in Geula and the Jew in Galus. Kach, listen to what he writes. Bizman shebe semiktosh haya chayim, we'll say, you know, part, you know, I'll just tell you by way of, you know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Zechuso Yogin Aleinu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the people, Rabbi Akiva, saved Klal Yisrael after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted two different types of takanas. There's a concept of Zecher L'Churban and Zecher L'Mikdash. See, often we think those things are synonymous, but they're not. Zecher L'Churban, a good example of Zecher L'Churban, is that when you're building your home, you should leave an Amma by Amma space. Oh, there's a whole Torah why you don't see that. In Eretz Yisrael, you see it much more. In Chutz La'aretz, you don't see it as much. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on that, not for now. But that's Zecher L'Churban. To remember that which was lost, to remember that which was destroyed. And then there's Zecher L'Mikdash. What's an example of Zecher L'Mikdash? That we take Lulav and Esrog, call Shiva. Right, again, remember, Me'ikra, then you only take Lulav and Esrog one day. The Beis HaMikdash, they would take it all 7 days. So too, again, now, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, we take Lulav and Esrog all 7 days as well. So we'll say, what's the chilik between Zecher L'Churban and Zecher L'Mikdash? What's the distinction? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains so beautifully, a very tifazach, right? A very sharp distinction. He says that the Zecher L'Churban is there to amplify feelings of pain. Zecher L'Churban is there to make you mourn that which you miss. So I walk into my home and I see an Amma by Amma, or I see, you know, I see something that's there, Zecher L'Churban. I walk into my house, it reminds me, Meshkachei Yerushalayim. My home is beautiful, Baruch Hashem. My home is built, but the Moshe Homs is not. So it's there to accentuate and amplify pain. Zecher L'Mikdash is there to stoke the fire of anticipatory yearning and pining for that which will be. So why do I take lulav and esrog all 7 days? To remind myself of that which was done in the Mikdash. Not to make myself mourn over that which has been lost, but to make myself yearn, intensely yearn for that which will be. I'm sharing this because when the Chabad contrasts Geula with Galus, Rabbi Osai, the goal of this, I want to be very clear, the Chabad's goal is not to make us feel bad. Right? The Chabad's goal is not to make us go and say, oh, we're in Galus. The Chabad's goal is to paint a picture of Geula so that we know what we're yearning for. So that we know what we want, the goal, right? How do you know if it's been a good shear? Well, if you're full, I guess that's one metric, right? Good, it's one part. I would say, but like, if I walk away from the safer, if I close the safer and I say, you know what? I want Geula just a little bit more. I want Mashiach just a little bit more. Now I could taste it. I could feel it. I know a little bit what it's like. That's the Chabad's trying to do. Look what he writes. He says, Kach, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. Haisa, listen to his description. Haisa HaNeshama Me'ira Bogof Shalim V'chai. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Neshama was the dominant force over the body. Now again, this came up a little bit last week. The Chabad's not suggesting that throughout the entire time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was like this. Remember, again, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it was destroyed because there was obviously a profound decline of Klal Yisrael. But at the end of the day, when you have the Mikdash, you have the ability to reach this level where the Neshama becomes the dominant partner in the body-soul partnership. I also said, you know what that, do we even know what that means? This goes back to today's daf. Right, Baruch Hashem, we get a mazel tov. Today we finished Maseches, we finished Moed Katan. And remember, how does the Gemara describe death? The Gemara describes it as how? Pulling a knotted rope through a hole. In other words, friction. Frictions. According to the Marashah this morning, who says, but yet the Gemara elsewhere says that it's like pulling a hair out of milk. It's been a shika. So what's the pshat? So the Marashah said, very beautiful, Ben Yehuda also brings down this idea. He says, everything depends on your body-soul relationship. If your body is the dominant force, the gashmius is the dominant force, death is painful. Because the body doesn't want to let go of the soul, because the body can't exist without the soul, and the body wants to continue to exist. But if the neshama is the dominant piece of who I am, then the body has no control over the neshama. The body has to let go. The body has to let go because the neshama has a higher calling. So we'll say, Bizman HaBeis HaMikdash, wait, isn't this the struggle we have every single day? Every day there's a tug of war for my essence. Who's going to win? Is it going to be my body, my guf, my carnal desires, or my wants, or my neshama? And this is a tug of war. Rabbi said, let's be honest. Some days the neshama wins. Most days the body wins. Most days the body wins. The Chabad says, you know what the power of Geula is? The power of Geula is a state of being where the neshama is the dominant force. The neshama is the thing that guides me. The neshama is in the driver's seat. He goes on, he says, V'hainu sha'ashchina haisa mefacha b'chal levavos. Person would feel during Geula, the essence of Geula, is that a person feels the Shechina churning inside of him. Bosa, can you imagine what that feels like? You know, we have moments like that. We have moments like that where I feel the Shechina inside of me. Moments like that where I feel like the neshama is in control. But it's episodic. For most of us, it's episodic, right? Most times, it's not like that. Well, in Geula, that's the norm. Memela, hanavu azarcha ba'ora, ad shehoyu Yisrael devukim ha-madregas nisos, lahargish es habiyas chayeyem ha'achos. And then what happens? Klal Yisrael, again, there's nevua, there's prophecy, and Klal Yisrael finds themselves elevated to the highest level. And I must remember again, what's the highest level for Klal Yisrael, according to the Chabad, what's the highest level? Oneness. When all the parts understand that their dominant feature is to be part of the whole. Where the limbs recognize that their highest calling is not to be individual limbs, but ultimately, again, to be part of the body. That's what Geula is. Kegai Shalim, Shema Huschayev Hu Bechinas Rayaso Shala Kodesh Baruch Hu. To be a complete nation who understands that the essence of its life is to be a friend, a beloved Reya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kimavuta b'shir ha-shirim, she-nichtav b'yos ha-shchina b'shlemusa, b'binyan shloma ha-melech. I both say, right, shir ha-shirim. So the Chabad says, you want to know what Geula is like? Read shir ha-shirim. And I will say, you know, Shir HaShirim is one of the strangest books of Tanakh, right? No one knows what to do with it, right? No one knows, right? Art scroll sanitized the whole thing, right? It's like, you know, it's right? If you could speak Hebrew, you have no idea where the art scroll translation comes from because it doesn't seem to. Now, again, that goes with the approach that it's a metaphor. I will say, but it's not an accident. It's not an accident that Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim ultimately as an intense, passionate love song between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's what it is. It's in essence, it's an intense love song between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi say, at the end of the day, says the Chaban so profoundly, at the end of the day, that's what Geula is. This intense connection, this intense relationship, this intense Dveikus. Ba'osher, Chaya HaKadosh Alam Biktash Vanevoa. So says the Chaban, you know, when one leads an enriched life of Mikdash, of Nevuah, Hirgish Kol Yochid Mi Yisrael Es Mashmaos Chayov Bigdulas Atzuma. But I say, look how beautiful this is. The Chaban goes on, he explains that at the end of the day, when we're in this state of Geula, there's another piece. Everyone feels the purposefulness of their existence. Everyone feels that they. And look at his lashon over here. Kirgish kol yachid mi Yisrael es mashmaos chayov begadlus atzuma. Every person sees the essence of his life as something so meaningful, so significant, so profound. Kechelek mitoch avukas kodesh hamiira tevel umaloa. He sees himself as a spark of the torch, that torch which illuminates the world in its entirety. Rabbi say. Isn't this incredible? The truth is, you know, if you're a little bit cynical, what are you thinking right about now? Right? What are you thinking right about now? Right? No one wants to say because you can't be cynical in the Hasidus Chavura. I always say, but you know, if you're cynical, you're like, come on, where do you get this from? Where is this coming from? I will say, and the simple answer is, it doesn't matter. The Chaban said it. He was a Mokubal. He's a great tzaddik. And so it's true. And so we go with it. And we go with it. And I will say, I want to just tell you something. Part of the beauty of this is when you put your mind to the side, and you open your heart and your soul. This is not an exercise in the intellect. I will say, if you let these words course through your neshama, and listen to how the Chaban describes Geula. I will say, can you imagine going through life feeling like you matter all of the time? So many of us go through life and we don't think we matter. We just don't think we matter. Some of us actively feel that way in a conscious state. Others feel it in a subconscious state. But a feeling of like being extra, like what am I doing here? Would the world really miss me if I wasn't here? Mm-hmm. Have I moved the needle in any way in the world? Do I make a difference? Do I make an impact? Or do I simply exit? You know, so I'll tell you something. I had an interesting interaction with someone a couple of weeks ago where I called someone. I just was calling a person regarding a particular issue. And he's like, oh, I'm happy you finally called me. And I said, okay. He's like, I haven't been in shul for the last week and a half. And you didn't call me. You didn't call me. And so, you know, like most of us, my first reaction is always to get defensive. Oh, right, because there's only 9 people in shul, right? And you were the center. So, we were waiting for you. I should have realized. And then I realized, like, wow. Some people need to be noticed, not out Gaiva, because they just want to know deep down what this guy was saying deep down was, I guess it don't really matter. I guess now, of course it's not true. Everybody matters. But again, it's Chatani Maske. I don't, you can't see everyone all the time. But what a profound yisod. This is the guy, an accomplished individual, Baruch Hashem. He just wanted to know that he matters. That he matters. That he matters to his Rav, to his Shul, to his this. Was so profound. Everybody wants to matter. And so in Geula, it's apparent that I matter. In Geula, it's clear that I matter. The Chaban goes on. Look what he writes. And we'll say, this is incredible. He says, HaShabbos, we're going to be doing this for a very long time, by the way, I realize, right? Let's say with this, because again, it's just so beautiful. HaShabbos, HaTfilin, VeHatzitzis, Talmud Torah, ve'esek ha-mitzvah. So all the mitzvahs, kimo, gam ha-melocha, u'binyan ha-aretz, hayu yachtov l'nimim, v'gidim, be'ilon, rav, serigim. Rachav Yadayim Shenichlalu Bo Kol Bisra Kaviya Achas. See, Avos, I think about this just a moment. You do a mitzvah, you put on tefillin. Right? Who are you benefiting when you put on tefillin? So remember again, Golus mentality, right? Golus mentality is chitzonius. So who am I benefiting when I put on tefillin?
Me.
And by the way, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. But the Chaban says, oh my gosh, that's like a tipa shibatipin. That's a drop in what it means. When there's geula, we recognize that every single thing we do, yes, it benefits us as individuals. But we recognize the collective power of our mitzvos. Again, the imagery here is so beautiful. And he's, by the way, it's not just mitzvos, malacha. We'll say malacha. So, you know, it's interesting that kind of most of us kind of walk around with two identities, right? We have an identity. It's like my work identity and my ruchni identity. My work identity is what I do to make a living. If I could help out a little bit here, help out a little bit there, I make money, I could give tzedakah, or in my industry, I help do favors for people. But there's my work identity, and then there's my ruchnius. And what's my ruchnius? My ruchnius is my shir, is my learning, is my davening, is tzvila ben sibur, that's all the different things. In geula, I recognize it's ha b'hatalya. Because when the Jew works in a meaningful, an upright and honest way, it's not just the pshat that I'm earning a living. I'm building the world. But in galus, you don't see it. So part of the other dynamic of geula is I begin to see that all of my mitzvahs, everything I'm doing in different ways, contributes to the totality of the harmony of the world. He goes on, he says, Imam, he'iru b'chol oz komat moni ha-Torah. Sisareha virazeha biyichude kodesh bechach mas hanavua v'hara asa v'hayu yisrael lom. So I'll say furthermore, Torah is different than in geula than it is in galus. Why? See, Torah in galus, and we're going to talk about this today a lot. Amir Tzashem, Torah in galus is just a surface Torah, not superficial chas v'shalom, but a surface Torah. But there's a whole body of nistar, a whole body of hidden Torah. That again, you know, we access it through Zohar, through Kabbalah, through Hasidus. But I will say, you know what? Today, the pursuit of Nistar is kind of much more peripheral pursuit, you know, or additional pursuit. It's not a primary pursuit. In Geula, all of the levels of Torah are exposed to everyone. He goes on, he says, V'hayu Yisrael lomdim esod nishmasam. I'll say each of these lines is a shir by itself. And what happens in Geula? Geula, we discover the secret of our neshamas. I will say, because each and every one of our neshamas has a sod, has a secret. Not a secret that you're keeping from someone else, but a secret dimension of holiness that we have yet to access. We look at ourselves, and so often we just think of ourselves as ordinary, as irregular, as run-of-the-mill. But the neshama holds so many secrets, so much depth, so much profundity, so much holiness. Ad l'hasagas nevuah. Kiflaim kiyotzi Mitzrayim. What was it? According to the Gemara Maseches Megillah, you know, the Gemara discussed. We saw it not so long ago in Daf Yomi. The Gemara says that there were more neviim for Klal Yisrael, Yoser, kiflaim kiyotzi Mitzrayim. More than two times the number of people left Egypt, which would put it at there are 600,000 men, over a million neviim. Right? So, remember this Gemara. So the Gemara says, so what happened to all of their nevuas? Why aren't they recorded? So the Gemara says, nevuah that has a future impact ultimately was recorded. Nevuah that only had an episodic temporary impact was not recorded. In Geula, when I access the hidden levels of Torah, when I access the secret of my neshama, nevuah becomes the purview of everyone. Nevuah representing that deep dialogical connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. Everyone has access to it. Turn to page Membah. He goes on. B'metzias adiro zu shel gilui shechina. So let's listen to this. In this level of page Membav, in this level of Gilui Shechina, of revelation of the divine, l'hayitzarach l'dabra atachlis hamitzvos hakim. We'll say this is incredible. Says the Chalban, in Yemosa Mashiach, in Geula, we're going to call it, not going to use the word Yemosa Mashiach, we're going to use the word Geula because that's the word he's using. In the world of Geula, there's no discussion about reasons or purposes of mitzvahs. Let's say, wrap your head around this one. There's no discussion of reason or purpose behind mitzvah. Why not? Or for that matter, reward. So no discussion of reward, no discussion of purpose, no discussion of reason. How could that be? How could that be? Sorry, doesn't man naturally yearn to understand things? Ki ho yisol ron olamim b'chayehem. B'ziv akod asher shebeveis Hashem. Shispashet l'chol merchavi ha'aret v'rom gov ho iskala ba'aliyah sa'am kulo l'regel. Because we'll see at the end of the day, when in Geula, there's going to be such clarity. There's going to be such a clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such a clarity of the secret of our neshamas, such a clarity of Torah, that the notion of why, of what, of how, of what do I get, those questions fall by the side. Fall by the side. And I will say, now I think what the Chabad is saying is like this. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to understand everything. What do you think the Chabad is describing here? What is he describing? What does he mean when in Geula there's no questions about meaning or reward or this, that? Why not? Why not? What do you think?
Because we have this infinite understanding and trust.
Because that's what it is. I'll give you a simple example. Right? If you tell your child, I love you, and your child says, well, why do you love me? Why do you love me? Right? Children don't usually ask that. Parents sometimes ask that, why do I love this kid? Right? So imagine the child asks you, why do you love me? So what does a parent answer? Imagine you go home, you tell your kid you love them, and they say, well, why? Why? What's your answer?
Because
I do. Because I do. And I understand why I do. I can't articulate it. And the truth is, it's not necessary to articulate it. It's not necessary to articulate why a parent loves a child. It's not necessary. It may be sometimes necessary to articulate why a child loves a parent. It's a different kind of love. But why a parent loves a child, no articulation is necessary because it's clear. Now, both sides, if somebody were to press you and to tell you, no, I want you to write an essay, right? Double space, two pages, right? About why you love your child. I think it would actually be hard. I mean, actually, like, what are you going to say? They're cute. They make me laugh. Like, think about it. Like, what? Because there are certain things that it's true. It's true. It's MS. You want me to explain it rationally and intellectually? I don't know that I could actually do that. But just because I can't articulate it intellectually does not mean that it's not true. It's the truth is, it's actually truer than anything. The love I have for my child is probably the truest thing that exists in this world, even though I can't explain it at all. I could give basic ideas, but I can't explain the depth of. So the Chabad explains in Geula, when all of these things that he described are going to be happening over here, there's just the clarity. There's just the clarity. So what's the reward for mitzvahs? I don't know, but like it doesn't. What do you get for loving your child? No, I don't know. I guess I get something. I'm sure I do get something from it. But it's not bala inyan. I'm not thinking about it. That clarity takes away the need for an understanding of the why, of the what, and of the rewards. Ilu hayu aperos hamesukim shel avodas hakodesh zorim meirim betachlisam v'soch chaye olam hazeh. Ultimately, again, because at the end of the day, the sweetness of Torah, the beauty of Torah, the gift of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of that becomes so clear and apparent that a rationale or a reasoning behind it simply becomes unnecessary. Both sides. Do you hear this? What a. It's hard to even wrap our head around it also, because we're going to see, by the way, that in Golos we've backed into a different form of Torah. Let's go on a little bit. He says, Lefichach. He says something amazing. Both sides, get ready for this. Lefichach. This is incredible. Does he ever wonder, why is there no discussion of Olam Haba? Right? It's one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah. Again, I'll just point out, not everyone agrees with the Rambam's 13 principles, right? Now, first of all, not everybody agrees that there's a concept of principles of faith. There are mitzvos, there are commandments, but the Rambam has Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? And in those Yud Gimel Ikarim is belief in Olam Haba. Why doesn't it appear anywhere? Forget about Chumash, right? Forget about Chumash. I will say, not one reference. Okay, there's a veiled reference here and there. Not one reference to Olam Haba. What's the pshat? Look what he writes. I will say, furthermore, think about this. Listen, and this is such a profound yisod. How do we relate to Olam Hazeh? Right, think about this. What's our relationship to this world? What's our relationship? How do we view? How does the Jew view this world? Temporary, right? What's the lashon Chazal in Pirkei Avos? Right, it's a prosdar. It's a tracklin, right? It's a hallway, right? It's a tracklin. Though, so that's how you view it. Why is that concept never mentioned? Right, we'll say it's a mishnah avos. But what a isn't that like one of the foundational stones of Yiddishkeit? That this world is but an antechamber, right? That this world is but a tracklin. That this world is but a prosdar, right? Both words used in the mishnayos. So shouldn't that be articulated somewhere in Tanakh? So look what the Chalban says. He says, "Ki kishe ziva olam haba meir ba olam hazeh ba'ashras shchina al yona bebeis Hashem ubemaros nevuah lekamos tzuma." Because we'll say the Chalban says something amazing. Because when we reach the level of gula, you see, the Yid's goal is never to get to olam haba. I will say, I'm not in a rush to get to olam haba. On many levels. We just discussed this morning in Daf Yomi, right? I think it was this morning. The problem with giving share at 5:45. I was not sure which day it was. Right? So yeah, we saw it this morning. 6:44 I did this. Thank you. Not that anyone's keeping count. Yeah. To the Bashak. You see, we started at 6:47 this morning. I'll point out something interesting. I mentioned this morning. Rav Shlom Shnolfall Hirsch brings down, and he says that it's a fascinating dynamic that by churches, you'll often find cemeteries attached to churches. But by shuls, you do not find cemeteries attached to shuls. I mentioned, you know, if you go to Europe, especially Eastern Europe, you'll often find cemeteries attached to shuls. Like if you go to the Ramos shul, right, in Krakow, right? So there's a famous cemetery there, the Ramos is buried there, Tosas Yamtiv is buried there. A lot of great tzaddikim are buried there. I'll say, but again, that was a din in land ownership. That was that the Jewish community got a parcel and pretty much used it for anything and everything. So if Hirsch says, why don't we put cemeteries next to shuls? Why not? Why not? So I'll say the simple answer. Because Rav Hirsch says, Yiddishkeit is a life-affirming religion. Because we don't view our mission as getting to Olam Haba. That's not my mission. I know a life will come to an end. I know that one day I'll die and I'll leave this world. And I have to be ready to accept that and ready to give din v'cheshbon on my life. But I'm in no rush. That's not my goal. My goal is not to get to Olam Haba. Chaban says, you're right. That's why Olam Haba is never mentioned. Olam Haba is never mentioned in Tanakh. Because my goal is not to get there. But I do have a goal to get somewhere. Where is my goal to get to? Geula. Geula. That's my goal. Right? My goal is to get from Gullus to Geula. Olam Haba, it'll come. I hope that I'm ready. I hope to lead a virtuous enough life that I have entry. But that's not really where I'm focused on. That's not really where I'm going. Where I'm going, where I want to get to, is I want to get to Geula. And therefore the Chaban says, Ki kishaziva olam haba meir ba olam hazeh. Because when look at these words. When the light of the world to come shines into this world, Bashros Shchina al Yona bebeis Hashem, ubemaros nevuah lekamos atzuma shel neviim. And I will say, when does the light of Olam Haba shine into Olam Hazeh? Take a wild guess. When does that happen? Geula. Part of the hallmark of Geula, I will say, is almost as if there's like an alignment between Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And the light of Olam Haba shines into this world. And he said before, as a result, there's a proliferation of prophecy. Because once I find the soul, the secret of my neshama, then suddenly again prophecy becomes rampant. Kiflaim kiyotzi mitzrayim. Lo hayu tzrichim kla ledaber aschar hamitzvus umashmaos kiyuman. Hatachlis vaschar hayu meirim begilo yirava bebehirus. The Chaban says something amazing. Chazal, Tanakh, were not really, well, Tanakh was not focused on Olam Haba. Because the goal is not to get to the world to come, the goal is to get to Geula. Because once I get to Geula, there's an alignment between the world of Geula and Olam Hazeh. There's an alignment between Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And that light of Olam Haba shines into this world. And it's that light, Rabbi said, that allows me to discover again the secret of my neshama, to find the deeper dimensions of Torah, to recognize that I'm a part of the whole proliferation of prophecy, and suddenly everything becomes clear. So the Torah doesn't focus really all that much on reward for mitzvos, doesn't focus all that much ultimately again on Olam Haba, because the goal is get to Geula. Get to Geula. And if I could only just get to Geula, then all of the theological pieces fall into place. Kach hayalanu. So we'll say, the Chaban says, and by the way, see, I will say, and he, this is a very important point. Lest you think that we're describing some future state that we never experienced before, it's natural. Chaban says, Kach hayalanu beyosein ba'oshachayinu. We had this state. We had this state of being ready. We experienced this. Begadlus hamochinu ba'ashpas hakodesh hirabanu. Vehine begalus olam chashav alenu. So we had this. We're going to see. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, we just had this in Daf Yomi. It's a good plug for that. Everything's in Daf Yomi. It's incredible. We just had this. The year that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, remember again, the Gemara says, they didn't fast on Yom Kippur. Do you know what that means, not to fast on Yom Kippur? No, none of us know what it means, not to fast on Yom Kippur. Barring Chas HaShalom, illness, and that. What, have we ever heard of such a thing like this? They didn't fast on Yom Kippur. The world was different. The world was different. The light of Olam Haba shined down into Olam Hazeh. They figured out the Seldon Shabbat. We experienced this. We experienced this. Now again, as I don't know, maybe it was Nehemiah brought it up last week, one of the important things to remember is just because you have it doesn't mean you can't lose it. Right? Vaharaya, we had it. Right? We had it, but we lost it. So don't think we're talking about some esoteric future event for which we have no frame of reference. We've had periods in our history like this. Begadlus hamochinu ba'ashmasgar v'hine begalus olam chashach ba'adenu. And now, unfortunately, we lost it. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, with diaspora, the world has become a darker place. Nistalka hashchina. The Shechina is removed. Now, we'll say what that means is the Shechina is not removed. The Shechina is very much with us here. But it's a different kind of revelation. It's a different kind of relationship. Now, we'll say sometimes when a relationship is fractured, there might be an incredible amount of love that's there, but the relationship takes on a different form. You know, so you see this all the time. You know, this is like a typical mistake that people make in relationships, right? Which is, you know, you wrong someone. You could fill in the someone, whoever the someone you want it to be, your spouse, your friend, your parent. And what happens? You realize you did something wrong. So what do you do when you realize you did something wrong? What do you do? Good. Everyone should be saying this, right? I apologize, right? Right? It's not a trick question. Right? I apologize. And I'll say, so it's interesting. You know, when you do something wrong and you apologize. So what? Think about this. You're the offender. You apologized. In your mind, what's the next step? What's the next step? Right? We're all good. Right? We're good, right? We're good. And then it's interesting because sometimes the person you hurt is like, no, we're not good. We're not good. And then something amazing happens, which is the offender apologizer suddenly becomes the aggrieved party. We're not good. Did you see that sincerity in that apology? Do you see the moisture? There's like a little bit of a thing going on over here on the side of my eye. What do you mean we're not good? Because you'll say sometimes we forget that when you fracture relationships, even if you apologize and you're sincere in your apology, when you break things, sometimes it takes time to put them together. And sometimes even when you put them back together, it's not the same as it was. So when the Chaban says over here, Nistalka HaShchina, it doesn't Chas HaShalom mean the Shechina is gone. But the Churban represented a fracturing of the relationship. And we're together, but it's not the same. It's not the same, right? It's just not the same. So, you know, it's like, Lahavdil, you know, again, Chazal compare the Chet HaEgel, the Chet HaMeraglim, the Churban, to like a wife who commits adultery. Klal Yisrael was the wife who committed adultery. So a couple could overcome an adulterous affair. But is the trust the same? Is the bond the same? Is intimacy the same? Maybe. Dr. Solomon's here, you know, he'll give it, I'm not going to weigh in on this, right? But you know, I'm saying, like, I'm sure you could get there, but maybe you never get there. The relationship could still be good, it could still be meaningful, but it might not be able to put it back the same, and certainly it's not going to be the same for a little while. That's what happens. So we fracture the relationship. It's not the same. It's not the same, but it's there. Well, so let's finish this paragraph. He says, Nignizah ha-neshama. Now, well, so now you could appreciate that phrase. What does it mean, Nignizah? The neshama was hidden. What does it mean, the neshama was hidden? What was hidden? What was hidden? The sod, right? The secret of my neshama is now hidden. Vaguf noser levado shochin ba'afar. And who's in control now? Right? Who's the dominant personality in life? The guf. Physicality. V'shever achar shever. Nifrat haguf l'resisim. And unfortunately, there's breakage after breakage, adversity after adversity, difficulty after difficulty. And the body, which was once an intact body of Klal Yisrael, was broken into pieces. V'nosarnu avak dak, pizurim ba'artzos tevel, lilo shchina, lilo hisgalos Hashem, lilo tiferes v'kavod melucha, lilo mikdash ulo nevuah. Rabbi said, tell me, after a paragraph like that, don't you want geula? Don't you? So the contrast is so profound. Right? The Chabad, tells us what geula is, what geula is. Then he told us we had it, we lost it, here's where we are now. Here's where Rabbi said, fine, one more line, then we'll stop. Yiridas poloim zu. Shabbos said it's very important. So I'll mention this, but then we'll stop over. We'll pick up with this next week in Mirat Hashem. The Chaban says that let's focus on a dramatic change. And there's been just a dramatic change in the way we experience Torah. Remember again, Chaban explained that Torah of Geula is like this luminescent Torah that everything just has a clarity. It doesn't mean that I understand everything. I will say it doesn't mean, right, that the Pshat, the Mashiach comes, Geula comes, everybody's a Bucky and Shas and Poskim, and everyone knows everything. But there's a clarity. So I don't struggle with the whys. I don't. I don't struggle with the whats. I don't struggle with the reward and the punishment and this and that. There's a sense of clarity. But with Gullus, it's not just the pshat that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has changed and that our relationship with one another has changed, but our relationship with Torah itself changes. He goes on, he says, Nimtza pe'er adir ben avodas Hashem haregila b'yom hakamonim u'bein maimar achayim begalos. There's a large chasm. There's just a large divide between what our avodas Hashem was in the time of Geula and what it is now. Lefichach, look what he writes. Hochrecha haTorah laredes mima'alasa. I want to say this is so profound. The same way that Am Yisrael kind of suffers a setback in Galus, Torah does as well. Torah's been diminished. Now, what has Torah been diminished? I want to say, listen to this. Lehiskanes b'tzimtzum rav l'nekuda garineha garinit garinis tzara. Torah is reduced. I want to say, to garinis tzara. What's garinis tzara?
Kernel.
A little kernel. A little seed. A little seed. Dalid amis shel halacha. Says the Chaban, if you notice that, something very interesting. The preoccupation with Torah and Galus is what? Is halacha. Is halacha. Isn't this fascinating? Right? Again, so much of our Yiddishkeit, so much of our Yiddishkeit is halacha. And the truth is very much the preoccupation. One of the incredible things that's happened in Galus, Rabbi Sa'i, is what? One of the most incredible things that happened in Galus was? Most incredible thing hands on happened in Galus. Right, Chalin. It's called Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, hence its name, Talmud Bavli, right? And in fact, Talmud Yerushalmi is not considered to be as authoritative as Talmud Bavli. So isn't it fascinating that the greatest work that next to Tanakh, right, the great is Talmud Bavli. What is Talmud Bavli focused on? Talmud Bavli is focused on Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. Rabbi say because Torah in Galus becomes really about one thing, which is, what do I need to do? Follow the rules. What do I need to do? Because in Galus, there are so many things that could derail me. There's a hyper-focus on what are the rules, what's the framework, and what do I need to do? But says the Chaban, that's a garinis tzara. You see, the tragedy is, halacha, as important as it is one piece. Now, again, it's an indispensable piece. You can't be a Jew if you don't know what to do, right? So at the end of the day, I need halacha. But it's amazing to see how in Galus, so much of our Judaic experience is embedded in halacha, when in fact there's so much trouble. But that's what Galus is. Galus, my Judaism, becomes about how do I navigate through the tumultuous straits of life. In Geula, in Torah is so much more than that. Torah is about relationship. Relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Relationship to the Am. Relationship to one another. So we'll stop over here for tonight. We'll pick up and we'll say, because this yesod about that the Torah of Galus is the Torah of Halacha. That's Halacha. Halacha is the preoccupation of Galus. And what Halacha becomes, Bizmana Geula, and Mirat Hashem next week. We'll say, Shkoyach.
can't listen to your kidneys. In gullus, you can't listen to your kidneys. In gula, you just know what to do.
You know what?
Avram just knew what to do. It was like automatic.
There's this clarity, there's this voice. You know, this is why you could have it. It's also interesting because those things happen outside of Eretz Yisrael also, right? Moshe Rabbeinu sees a snare. Avraham Avinu hears a lech lecha. So there is, these people experience this type of geula clarity, even though they're outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is unique. I don't know that that's replicable. You know, again. Yeah, we'll say Mariv. Mariv.
It's so good to see my friend.